This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Malaysians aren't known for their reading habit, but you might just change your mind when you go to the ultimate pop-up bookshop and see 4.5 million books for sale, open round the clock for just 11 days. Now, to go behind the scenes of the Big Bad Wolf book sale, talk about their global expansion plans and ask whether there is money to be made from reading, we have in the studio one of the two founders, Andrew Yap. Welcome to the studio, Andrew.
Hi, Xiaoning. Thanks for having us here.
Well, firstly, congratulations on the 10-year anniversary of the Big Bad Wolf sale. Now, you started small with a bookshop, right? A Book Access in 2006, then, of course, the Big Bad Wolf sale in 2009. But my first question is, how do you manage to sell your books so cheaply at 70 to 95% discount? Is this because you source your books at the remainder book market?
Hi, yes. I mean, basically, it's a very simple business model. You know, we buy it at a low price and then we sell it at a low price. And remainders is what is categorized, but a lot of people don't know what remainders are. Basically, it's just surplus books and overstocks.
So how do you source them? I mean, do you have to go overseas to find these overstock books or do you have a constant supplier?
Initially, it was just me and our co-founder, Jacqueline. She's also my wife. And it's just the both of us traveling to UK, US, you know, Australia and sourcing for books. Now we have a buying team of about 10 of us.
And y'all are constantly on the road looking for these books.
Yeah, constantly on the road looking for this.
But then who decides what books will or won't sell? Because the last thing you want is to have unsold inventory, right? Which maybe you can't, you might require a write down later on.
Believe it or not, you know, when we first look at a book, right, it's always judging a book by its cover. You know? Yeah, and then, but we do have our data. And if the book is new to us, you know, the cover is good. It has a strong appeal and we will give it a try. And but basing on our data, we know, you know, what book sells and what book doesn't. You know, 12 years in this industry, we have a lot of data.
Okay, since you've been doing this for 12 years, tell us a little bit about the reading habits of Malaysian. Are there any trends?
Here's an interesting fact. You know, when we first started Big Bad Wolf 10 years ago, young adult books never sold at the sale. I mean, it did sell, but, you know, it's so little that, you know, it wasn't significant at all. 5 years into the sale, you know, there was a huge demand one particular year, you know, and there was a lot of requests on the floor saying that we ran out of young adult books, right? And then only we realized that the customers that were with us from the beginning, you know, those like 8 years old, 9 years old, they have moved on to young adult books, right? And we never realized that. So that particular year, you know, we ran out of young adult books. And now young adult is one of our strongest genres, you know. And that shows that Malaysians do want to read. There is a reading habit. It just needs to be accessible and affordable.
So the demographics or the people that do go to your sale are a bit on the younger side. But what else sells? Do cooking books sell perhaps or children's books?
So cooking book has evolved too, you know, like how the book has evolved. Previously, you know, you could sell 500 ways to cook chicken. Right now, you can't. You know, the market is more discerning. They go to YouTube, you know, to get recipes and all. So what the customer love to see is, you know, books by Jamie Oliver, Nigel Lawson, you know, the
celebrity chefs.
Celebrity chefs and all, and more talk on the history about food rather than just the recipe.
And do these trends also change from location to location? Because you have replicated this Big Bad Wolf sale model overseas. So, like, is there some books that sell well in perhaps Jakarta, but don't do so well in Manila? And since you're kind of new to this overseas markets, how did you know what would work in each market?
So, initially, it was we go on a very simple formula. In a country where if you don't really know the market, we all know that children book sells, right? So, we go, you know, maybe about 60% children and 40%, you know, spread of other genres. And then the following year, after all the feedback and data that we have, and then we can, you know, skew the selection to the correct market. But you take, let's say, Philippines as an example. The Filipinos love reading. So fiction is huge there. Fiction can be almost like, you know, 40, 50% of the sale.
And just to rewind a little bit, what don't Malaysians read? What doesn't sell here? I'm just curious.
I think Malaysians read almost everything because of, you know, the culture that we have, you know, and we are very open. So
Seriously. Anything goes.
Anything goes. Anything goes. Yeah.
And how do you plan to keep the Big Bad Wolf sale fresh? Because, I mean, let's face it, it was a novelty when it first started, right? How has attendance been?
Yes, of course, you know, it started really well. And then there will come a period where, you know, a lot of customers saying that, oh, I've got a lot of books, it's not read, and this and that and all. Thankfully, the attendance has always been good because children was always our focus when we first started this business. You know, I mean, the young kids are basically the new generation, right? And they need to read. And you have a captive audience from zero almost to 15, 16 years old. I mean, maybe when they start dating, then you lose them, no? But before that,
for
right?
For a while.
Yeah, for a while. Before that, from 0 to 16, you have to feed them with books every day. So that the market is always there, you know? Yeah.
So for this 2019 Big Bad Wolf sale at the mines, right? What kind of attendance do you think you will achieve?
We are hoping for about 500,000, 500,000 customers. That's almost similar to like last year. We're not really expecting an increase also. I mean, because the market has been soft for the last few years. And back to your question on, you know, how do we keep it interesting? We do have a lot of activities, you know, engagements with the customers. This year is more like a carnival theme. There's a playland, you know, there's a food court and stuff like that, you know, to make it a whole day wholesome event.
And what made you think that you could replicate the same model overseas? Because I read somewhere that you have a big risk appetite, but no actual business plan when you started, when you decided to start this in Bangkok and Jakarta in 2016. What made you think you could do it?
I think that was the best thing we ever did. You know, Big Bad Wolf moving out of Malaysia, you know, we are, this year alone, we are in 32 different cities, 10 countries. Why I say it was the best thing is because, you know, somehow it's not easy to navigate this business. You know, we started in Malaysia. Malaysia is our home. And we always wanted to make books as affordable as possible. And with all the rising costs and all, right? So 2016, we ventured out of Malaysia. The first city that we went to was Jakarta and then Bangkok. And how did it all start was, you know, one day we thought that, you know, we done a decently good job in Malaysia. We did 7-8 cities. We covered the whole of Malaysia. And then what next? Because there was a lot of requests, you know, from customers overseas saying that, hey, you should bring it back, you know, to our home, you know, that kind of thing, you know. And so we thought, okay, let's try our neighboring countries. So in Jakarta and Bangkok was on our radar. Yeah.
But how do you actually decide which of these foreign markets to kind of penetrate? And did you actually like use any local partners to navigate these new markets? Because it cannot be easy. It's not like Malaysia where you know how things work.
Yeah. Basically, we try to go to markets where English is not the first language. So as we all know, you know, there's a huge demand for English material in around the whole world, you know.
That's an interesting idea, actually, yeah, to penetrate markets where English is not the first language.
Yes, and it's majority of the world. Mm. Yeah, you know. So, I mean, we believe that English is not the most widely spoken language, but in the next probably, you know, 100 years, English will be number one. Yeah. I mean, it's a language of business. It's an international language. So, and it ties the whole world together. So there's a huge yearning around the world, you know, for parents to get their kids.
But did you have to use local partners to navigate these overseas markets?
Yeah, because we don't know the landscape, you know, in each country and all. And so having local partners to bridge all the gaps and you know, all the red tape, you know, and how to start a business there, you know.
So what were the main challenges of going overseas then?
I think, you know, sometimes we always say that, oh, you know, Malaysia like this, like that, you know, in terms of bureaucracy and all, right? But believe it or not, you know, Malaysia is one of the best places to do business. Going overseas, we realized that it is a lot more difficult, you know, to start a business, to get your import licenses. There's so much restrictions and, you know, in trade and also, especially logistics is one, and customs and taxes and all. So having our local partner, you know, solve all these issues, yeah, it's a
but
big help there.
All overseas markets the same? Are there some markets which are more profitable for you than others that do better?
Yep. I mean, it's first and foremost, you know, we are a reading advocacy company before anything else, right? And so business-wise, our goal is to get the world to start reading more, right? And our tagline is to change the world one book at a time. So when it comes to, you know, which country is more profitable, which country is not, right? We always gauge on how the response in that particular country to see whether we go back again. Take example like Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, we did very well at Colombo, but the market is not huge there, right? But Jakarta does well. So, you know, we still go back to Colombo, you know, because we can't just leave, you know, we can't just go in there and
not continue.
Know, yeah, not continue because there will be hundreds of thousands of readers there who suddenly won't have books, right?
So you're trying to create like an annual pattern almost like so that the buyer, I mean, the customers kind of know you're going to turn up soon.
Yeah, we're going to turn up soon. And even if it's not profitable there, we will still go back there, you know, to slowly build the market. That's what we are about.
So which market have you sworn off completely or is there none?
We did have some setbacks like Pakistan, right? You know, we did Lahore, but we felt that we just need to find a better way to navigate around it. You know, we will not give up.
You'll try again.
Yeah, we'll try again. We are hoping to be in 100 different cities in 3 years' time.
Okay, so what's next on the map? Is it going to be, because I read Africa, South Asia, East Asia, and even Latin America, which is, I would have to say, geographically quite far away.
Yeah, it is. It is. Firstly, would be the Middle East. You know, countries like Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia. And even with those three countries, you know, you can even do two or three cities within those countries, right? And Africa.
But doesn't it become more difficult to replicate the success as you get geographically further away? The challenges would only be much more.
It is. But one great thing about Big Bad Wolf is that it's a very scalable business model. You know, it's easy to just replicate, right? But so what you actually need is a good team. Yeah.
And that makes the world of difference.
Yeah, that makes a world of difference. We have a crazy team with us. And not only that, we also needed proper, you know, management structure because it was always just me and Jacqueline, you know, trying to manage the 650 of us, right? And we don't come from a corporate background. So...
Yes, you used to run a different kind of business related to cars, right?
Yeah, cars in a workshop. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting change of career.
Yeah, it is.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Andrew Yap, co-founder of Book Access and the Big Bad Wolf Sale. Up next, we are going to dive into the financials and find out how profitable books can be for this social enterprise. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Andrew Yap, co-founder of Book Access and the Big Bad Wolf Sale. We were just talking about what books sell in Malaysia, how they plan to keep their annual sale fresh, and their plans for global expansion. Now, Andrew, let's talk financials, okay? Because in 2016, you said revenue was about 100 million ringgit. So what's the figure today? And does this include the bookshops that you run also?
The figure today is close to 200 million. And yes, it includes Book Access.
And you have how many outlets? Eight outlets. And they're all doing well?
Yeah, it's doing very well. I mean, it shows that there is a demand for books. It's just that it needs to be accessible and affordable.
I'm just curious, out of one outlet which operates 24 hours, right?
There's
How's the attendance like? Do people really go? And I mean, because even the Big Bad Wolf sale is open 24 hours. Are there people who really go?
Yeah, if you do, I mean, our the Cyber Jaya store, right, in Tamarind Square, it's not only 24 hours. It's also the biggest bookstore in Malaysia, you know, 38,000 square feet. And if you go to the store at 2 o'clock in the morning, we have a community study area for students and all. And it's packed. It's literally packed throughout the whole day.
Okay, then back to the financials. What are the margins then? Because I assume you buy the books in foreign currency, be it US dollar, maybe pound, like you say, Australian dollar.
Yeah, US dollar.
So how does that, the currency fluctuation, affect you? Are you able to pass on, let's say, the increased cost to consumers if, let's say, this year the ringgit is weak?
We try to hedge as much as we can. And when it comes to margin, it's quite simple. We buy at one, we sell at two.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's very tight. That includes shipping. That includes everything, all our expenses and all, right? And so if we get hit by Forex losses, we got hit, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago. You know, we suffered millions. But we just refused to raise the prices. what I told everyone, you know, in the team that, yes, this is a setback. So the only thing to do is sell more books, you know. So I think that is also another factor why we decided to move out of Malaysia, because there's only so much books you can sell, right? And taking this, you know, out of the country, and suddenly, you know, you have such a huge market. You have the whole world to sell to.
So it's all about scale, like you say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's all about scale.
And what about other costs? What are the other big cost items? I assume inventory, I mean, logistics is one big cost, right? Because it's not going to be easy shipping all these books back and forth, even especially overseas.
Yep, logistics is a huge cost. So logistics and manpower. Yeah, these are the two ones. But then as we go overseas to an event, the hall rental, that's also another huge cost.
But do you manage your labor, like your labor costs? A lot of your staff, especially for the Big Bad Wolf sale, I presume are temp staff. They're not full-time, right?
Yeah. I mean, among the 650 full-time staff that we have, you know, they are spread out across, you know, operations, marketing and all, right? But when it comes to an event, let's say, take example, if we are going to go to Bangkok, we'll take about, you know, 25 full-time staff from Malaysia, and the rest we'll hire about, you know, 400 students there.
And I understand the overseas operations is akin to like a traveling circus.
Yes, it is. It is. You know, we travel with 6 containers of all our equipment. It's like a circus or a rock band, you know.
So how much is logistics as a percentage of cost then? I'm just curious, since it's like you have so much to ship back and forth.
Yeah, I think because from the get-go, right, the day you purchase the books, you know, it comes from, let's say, USA, you know, all the way to Malaysia, and then it goes to Pakistan, and then it comes back again. So it is a huge cost, and I would say it's probably about 5 to 8%.
So let me guess, or you might be able to tell me, what are your net margins like then, after everything?
Probably
on average,
I reckon around 20%.
So still a very good business.
It is still a very viable business model.
Okay, and then I want to ask about your company itself, because you have said that it's actually a social enterprise, which for me means that you can't, it's not that you can't be profitable, but the priority is reinvesting into the social mission, which is in your case is improving literacy, right? I think that's one of the key points.
I think to make it clear, what I meant is that we are actually between a social enterprise and a business. So that what makes us unique. And why I say that is because, you know, our mission is to change the world through books. And, you know, yes, there are a lot of other initiatives by other people, you know, wanting to make a difference in the world, right? And we believe that books is a key factor, you know, in doing it, because it's education.
But is it just lip service? Because sometimes people say that and then they pay themselves incredibly fantastic salaries, you know. Is that the case for you?
Oh, they're definitely not. Yes, you can see, right? Our margins in Malaysia is the smallest. And, you know, a lot of customers know that we moved 45 million copies of books last year, right? As a Malaysian, I mean, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been to the sale, and everyone wouldn't mind even paying 1 ringgit more, you know, for a book, right? We could have raised the price 1 ringgit more, because from what our competitors are selling, it's such a huge difference. We could even raise it 2 or 3 ringgit.
Nobody would notice,
nobody
right?
would notice. Even 1 ringgit. So can you imagine, if you're selling 45 million copies of books, 1 ringgit is 45 million into your bottom line. We could have retired a long time ago, you know. But we are still here, you know, fighting the battle. And another clear example is, you see, for us to do Big Bad Wolf, we need a certain scale. Whenever we go to Ipoh, Penang, Kedah, you know, all these little smaller cities, the volume is much lower and we are not profitable there. But why we do it is because we are doing well in other cities and Malaysia is our home ground, you know. So we do it. And give you another good example, East Malaysia. Everyone, literally almost everyone raises the price when they go to East Malaysia. You have to, because of the logistics.
The shipping cost, right?
Shipping a container from New York to Kuala Lumpur is cheaper than from Kuala Lumpur to East Malaysia.
Oh.
Can you imagine? So that's why the prices of things in East Malaysia, you know, it's more expensive. East Malaysia was our last, we kept it to the very end, you know, because we know that it will be a negative impact on our bottom line, right? But because of our success in other cities, so we are in East Malaysia now at the same price. as Peninsula Malaysia.
So, Andrew, what is the eventual game plan for you and your partner? I mean, what are you all looking to do eventually? Are you looking to list, perhaps do a sale?
So, the last 10 years has been really crazy. And finally, we knew that, you know, for us to keep on expanding to 100 different cities in the next 3 years, we needed funding. And we had a really great investor on board, you know, Diamond Asia. And they bought one-third of Big Bad Wolf. We needed the funding. We were not cashing out, you know. So we needed funding to go to the next level. And so for us, this is only day one. We are like a huge startup, and then now we have the firepower to move to start, you know, with proper funding, and they will probably exit in a few years' time in a trade sale or IPO. But even that for us, we'll still be here because the long-term goal in 10 years is to sell 1 billion copies of books a year around the whole world. Basically, we are hoping that we can control the global supply chain of books. If we can do that, we can control the prices of books.
But I also read somewhere that you wanted to give back to your employees, you know. Yep. So how are you going to do that? I mean, is it just lip service?
Oh no, we definitely set aside a certain percentage for those who has been with us, who fought the battle with us, you know. So when the Diamond exit at that time, you know, It's up to them what they want to do with the shares.
So it'll be hopefully a very generous employee share option scheme.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Everyone might be millionaires, just
yes,
like...
definitely.
Okay. And, you know, finally, I want to end on this e-books, because everyone says, you know, oh, that's been the doom and the death of bookstores, but hasn't been the case for you. Do you think it's really a challenge? I mean, we did see borders shut down in US, for example.
Yeah, I mean, e-books definitely caused a dent in the whole industry, right? It was a very challenging period the last, you know, 10 to 15 years. Maybe let's not call it e-books. The challenge was digital media, right? And everybody was so distracted. So, what it has done was it made books more interactive. You know, it got the book industry to evolve a lot quicker. And so fast forward 15 years, you know, you and me, I think it's given, everybody knows, keep digital media away from kids, right? So, but as for adults, we are always being told less screen time.
Yes.
You know, so it's always, you know, you fall back to books. So even with kids. So
there's something magical about turning a page.
Yeah, about turning a page. And you know, the written word somehow has got to be read in a print form. It's just a human interaction with the written word. And so e-books are actually on a decline, and print books are up again. And we know that books are definitely here to stay, you know, and we just keep on growing and be stronger.
On that note, thank you for your time today, Andrew, to tell us about the Big Bad Wolf sale, which, by the way, ends this Monday. I'm Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.